Would you pray with me? God in heaven, we pause this morning and we celebrate this glorious reality that there is an empty tomb, that our sins nailed to that old rugged cross paid the price so that we could find hope and life eternal. We praise you for this, Lord Jesus, for your gift and the opportunity for us to come here to be a part of this local expression of your people gathered to worship and sent to embody your mission. We pray as we step into this time together now that you would help us lean in to your voice. Help us yield to your spirit. We pray that we would link our arms yet more tightly together as we seek to love and serve you with our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning. Welcome to Kickoff Sunday. If we haven't met before, my name is Paul. I'm one of the pastors here, and it is an awesome day for you to be here as we celebrate a new ministry season. So many things launching. If you didn't have the chance, as you walk through the lobby today, there are leaders from dozens of our ministries here to just share about the opportunities that we have to both be served by and serve within the various ministries here at New Hope Church this fall. It's wonderful. Stop by on your way out. Also, later today, we're going to be celebrating, as you may have heard, baptisms at noon. So between now and then, there are lawn games. There's going to be hot dogs on the grill. And it's a great time to stick around for the day today. Now, if you were to be within earshot of our home right now on, like yesterday, a Saturday afternoon, I can pretty much guarantee over the course of an hour, you would hear this sound. This is my dog whistle, all right? Now, some of you can do the, like, you know, two fingers. Can anybody here do that? Can I hear it? There we go. I could never do that. So I've just got a simple, and our dog knows it. We've got this little, she's 7 years old now. She's half collie and then a mix of lab and poodle, a mutt homegrown from the Humane Society. And she is just the sweetest thing. But in our current life stage, we had to tear down our backyard fence, and with three young kids in the home, she is frequently let out the back door to wander our neighborhood. And so, on any given day, like yesterday, I have to utilize my dog whistle. Now, I'd like to say that, you know, our 1 year of puppy class, which we went through with the Kings, paid dividends, maybe a little. It's about a 50-50 shot if the whistle works. So sometimes, you know, dog Berkeley wandering away and we realize, oh, there she is down the street. And I'll go, and nothing, right? She's either just preoccupied chasing the scent of squirrels or rabbits. Usually it's that she hears, but she's just sniffing around. Once in a while, she gets that, like, dog owners, you can know this. She has that, like, defiant look in her eye, like, I hear you and I don't care. But about half the time, she could be, you know, a block down the road, and I whistle, and all of a sudden, ears back, sprinting like a greyhound, she comes booking it right toward me. It's the whistle, the dog whistle. My daughter, Hannah, she's the cutest thing. Anytime Berkeley's outside, she says, Daddy, do that Berkeley whistle, Daddy. And so we'll whistle, and she tries. She goes, ooh, because she's four. She can't whistle yet. This is the signal for our dog to come. It's a trigger. Now, here's what we know about our lives and about human history. God does that for his people many times. He brings us back when we're distracted, when we're drifting, perhaps even when we're defiant or lukewarm, when we're longing and thirsty. God signals to us to come to him. He may use another person as that signal. He may use circumstances as that signal. He uses always his Holy Spirit. He uses his word to speak to us, to signal to us, hey, come to me. Come to me. The passage we want to look at today from Scripture is this very call, and it is actually the final plea, the final signal that is sent in all of Scripture. It's found in the last chapter of the Bible. So if you're new to the Bible, it's not hard to find. Go to the last book, which is Revelation, the very last chapter, chapter 22. And this is the final urging that we're given. in all of Scripture. It's a message from Jesus and a commentary from the Apostle John. Here's what it says. Revelation chapter 22, verses 16 and 17. Jesus says this, "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let the one who hears say, 'Come.' And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price." This urging, this plea is the culmination of the revelation that was given to the Apostle John. John was one of Jesus' closest friends, one of the 12. In fact, one of the subgroup of the 12 known as the three. John was known as the beloved disciple. He had a front row seat to Jesus' ministry. And some 60 years later, after Jesus had ascended to heaven, John is given a vision. And this vision is Jesus' message to the church. It's a picture, a revelation of how things will unfold at the end of time. And at the very end of this revelation, a powerful, complex, but yet compelling revelation, at the end of this revelation stands Jesus with a message, a culmination. And this message, Jesus, you can picture him standing on heaven's shore, his message to John, and this message that transcends a call through generations. This message is a summons. It's an invitation. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires come." This call echoes through the cosmos across generations to come. Come to the Lord Jesus. Receive the water of life. If this call sounds familiar, we just sung it a few moments ago. This call is actually echoed in several places throughout Scripture. In the Old Testament, from the prophet Isaiah, we'll hear it in just a moment, and also by Jesus himself in John chapter 7. In John chapter 7, Jesus declares that he himself is the source of this water of life that we're invited to come and receive. John 7:37 says this, "On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.'" Jesus proclaimed this in the midst of what was known as the Feast of Booths. This was a yearly memorial where they would celebrate how God provided water for his people in the desert. When Moses struck the rock, water flowed. And Jesus stands up in the middle of this feast on the last day, and he proclaims, "This water we commemorate, if you want to receive true and living water, if you thirst, come to me. Come to me." This is what we're called toward, to Jesus himself, to the living water that he supplies. This is our call as a church. This is our call as people, our invitation. Jesus is our greatest pursuit, and he is our ultimate satisfaction. He's our true north. He's what we set our sails toward, and he is our greatest pursuit. So above anything that we could hope for, above anything that we could long for, above anything that we could achieve or even seek, he is our greatest pursuit. And he alone has the water that ultimately and truly can satisfy us, the water of life. This is the longing that we're created with, that can only be quenched by our Creator. I mentioned Isaiah declares this in the Old Testament. Listen to this in Isaiah chapter 55, the first few verses. He says this, "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come and buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Listen to this question. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. This is the covenant. This is the promise that Jesus fulfilled in John 7 and that is echoed and declared to the generations in Revelation 22. Let all who are thirsty come. Come. We can labor and strive and fill our lives with so many things, but he alone can ultimately satisfy. This fall, our series is called Charting a Bold Course, casting for us a vision of the voyage that God has set us on as a church. It is a bold course, but it's not a new course. It's not a new course. Back in the 1940s, our church was planted from the vision of a woman named L. Jane Sandberg and a gentleman named Wilbur Matson, who started a Bible class for kids in a neighborhood a couple miles east of here. That Bible class for kids grew into a congregation whose mission was to proclaim Jesus. To proclaim Jesus to Crystal and eventually moving westward into New Hope. There have been many wonderful men and many wonderful women who have served and led New Hope Church over these past 75 years, many iterations of ministry. But this remains. Jesus is our greatest pursuit. He's our greatest pursuit. 20 years ago, our senior pastor at the time, Steve Gould, and our elders shared with us a bold course. We called it our high and holy calling, a calling to become a Christ-centered community for all people. 20 years ago, a vision to be a reflection of Revelation chapter 7, where people from every nation, tribe, and tongue who would one day be gathered around the throne in heaven, a picture and a vision that they would be gathered here in our community as we see our community reflect God's vision for heaven. And so our mission then is to see and to serve our neighbors with the love of Christ. Today, this hasn't changed. This is our bold course. Jesus is our greatest pursuit. Now, there are days and seasons where the water is like glass, where our ship seemingly glides across the waters. We were just on a boat last night with some friends, and we came back after some fireworks in Wayzata on Lake Minnetonka. And as we came back, the water, you could see the about full moon just reflecting off the water, and it glistened, and we glided through the water. There are days and there are seasons of our lives and of our church's story where that's the case. There are also days and seasons where the wind and the waves and the currents and the challenges rise against us. And we have to forge our way where the bow of our ship cuts through the waves and the waters. It's a bold course we're called to because many times these are the days. And at times these are the seasons. It's an arduous course. It's not an easy course. It's a bold course. So how do we stay on course? How do we navigate toward and land on heaven's shores without shipwrecking our faith, without succumbing to the wind and the waves and the currents that often rise against us? Listen to these words from Ephesians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul says this. This is amazing. He says in Ephesians 4, verse 14, he says, "No longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and held together, together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. How does the ship make it through the wind and the waves? How does the ship keep from being tossed about? When the church, together, each part is working properly. This is how our vision is fulfilled. The church together. In Revelation 22:17, John says, "The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.'" Who is the bride? The bride is the church. This invitation is not only a summons by the Lord Jesus to come and by his Holy Spirit, is by his church that we are summoned to come and gather together with and pursue him. Now we need to make an important distinction. We are called to Jesus. We are summoned by him, called all aboard, right, to join this ship in this movement to pursue the vision that he set before us. But we are not just called to join and embark on this journey as a passenger. In Ephesians 4, the Apostle Paul says that the way that this vision is fulfilled, that we attain Christ-likeness and how we will land on heaven's shores, is when each part, every joint is working together. So we're not just called to be an observer or a passenger. We're called to be a part, a crew member. So here's an important distinction. The church is a crew ship. It is not a cruise ship. Think about the difference of this. When you step aboard, when you embark on the journey to follow Christ and you join the Church of Jesus, you're not stepping on a Royal Caribbean or a Carnival Cruise Line ship where you bring your lawn chair and your sun hat and your binoculars where you're going to just sit and relax. You step aboard and there are folks below the deck with oars moving the waters. There are people up above setting the sails. There are people navigating and setting a course. There are folks in the kitchen preparing food and scurrying about and working together to see to it that the ship gets from here to there and that everybody who is aboard gets from here to there. This is the church. Now, on a cruise ship, it's a very different picture. On a cruise ship, as a passenger, I pay my fare. I pay my fare and I step aboard and somebody else provides my accommodations. They make the bed. They clean for me. They clean up after me. They feed me. They entertain me. They cater to me. They navigate for me. They're the ones that are responsible to see to it that we make it to our destinations. This is how many people treat the church. They come and say, "Entertain me. Feed me, meet my needs, cater to my preferences, play the songs I like at the volume that I prefer, with the colors and the walls that I like." This is not the church. That's consumerism. How silly would it be for someone to show up on a cruise ship with an oar or a paddle, right? Step aboard the Royal Caribbean and say, "I'm ready to paddle." They would laugh you off the boat. Equally ridiculous, how ridiculous would it be for someone to step aboard a cruise ship with their lawn chair and their hat and their binoculars and fold it out on the deck and say, hey, thanks for moving me along, folks. God doesn't call us to be passengers. He calls us to be a part of the crew. And so when we're summoned and we're called to be all aboard and sold out for his mission, it's not a position of a spectator or a cheerleader. It's from the role of a crew member that we labor and toil and serve and push toward him. And when each part is working properly, the body builds itself up. It stands strong through the winds and the waves of culture and doctrine and distraction. With eyes fixed on Jesus, each part working together cuts through the wind and the waves so that we follow this call to come to him. I love the story that we saw a few moments ago from Derek. His story early in the pandemic of essentially saying, I want to grab an oar. I want to grab an oar and be a part of how we love and serve our neighbors. So here we are. Here we are on the shores of yet another fall. Another ministry season here at New Hope Church. We've had nearly 75 of these. We'll be celebrating our 75th fall here in a couple years. And here we are again, standing on this shore. Many things going on in our lives. Good, important things. And in the midst of this, we stand on the shore, and Jesus from heaven's shore in Revelation 22, there's a call. He says, come to me. Let the one who hears come. Come. And so we have the choice to remain on the shore, to stay in the port, as it were, or to come aboard. But not just to come aboard as a passenger, to come aboard as a crew member. I want to invite you to take a moment. I don't know what your mindset has been the past 30 months since the pandemic hit. I don't know what it's like, you know, even just the last couple weeks as perhaps school has gotten going or work has ramped back up for you. But as you find yourself here today in this room or online in this moment, would you pause and just for a moment imagine yourself on that shoreline with Jesus standing before saying, I am the day spring. I have the water of life. Would you come to me? Perhaps you've never responded to this call before. Jesus said in John 7:37 that if anyone believes in me, this water of life will fill their heart and life and flow from them. It is simply believing that Jesus is Messiah, that he has died for your sins. It is a trust in him. And if you've trusted in the Lord Jesus, the summons is to come aboard as a crew member to say, I'm not just going to sit back and watch. I'm going to pick up an oar. I'm going to grab a sail and help navigate. I'm going to do the heavy lifting so that others can come aboard as well. I want to pray for us today. Lord Jesus, we pause in these moments, and our desire is that we as a people would say yes. We want to be responsive, not just in a moment here, but with our lives, with all of who we are, that we would together respond to you, that we would live for you together. I pray for our church family here, the wonderful blessing that it is for us to be a part of the legacy of New Hope Church. You have called us together for this season to be aboard for your mission, to follow you with our hearts and lives and to work together so that many others could be brought to this living water. I pray over the many hands and hearts that will make New Hope Church flourish this fall. Would you bless and empower and uphold and sustain? Would you use the ministries that shape from every young girl and boy up to every adult? Would you use the many expressions of ministry that this year give opportunity for pathways toward Jesus? Would you use them, and would you cause us, many of us, to step forward and not just receive, but be a part of the crew? Jesus, you have done so much for us, and we want to seek you. Above all things, our greatest pursuit. So we surrender our hearts and lives to you. And as we do, we pray that you would do amazing things beyond what we could ever ask or think or even imagine. May your kingdom come here and now. We pray in Jesus' name.